All right.
We're still studying the burnt offering. Hopefully this will be maybe tomorrow, the last day. Get back to Luke. We talked yesterday about how for the burnt offering, all the inner parts were washed, including the legs. The legs speak of the walk of Christ, our walk. The inward parts reveal essentially our inward being, our thinking, our the whole nine yards of what goes on inside us. But let's look at John 14 a minute. Let's just start in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many, it really says many seders, many places of abiding. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Then Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, I have been so long time with you, and yet thou knowest not me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, if you look at that from the standpoint of what we're studying, that is his walk. He finished the way. He cannot and will not teach us or show us the way because we don't know. The only way he can show us the way is to be the way. And so therefore that's another reason why we must abandon ourselves. We have a true and sure inertial guidance system that is everything in the scriptures is in that way. But our minds try to be the guidance system, and it takes us off course. And that continues. And that's why repentance is the only thing that brings us back on course. Repentance and abandonment of self. And that way we are guaranteed of being in the way and all these other things. The works that he did, we'll do greater, it says. But the whole mystery of it has to be that you see him not as teaching you the way or showing you the way or teaching you truth or giving you life. He is all those things, and he's not giving it to anybody. And so that's the abandonment of self, is the doctrine, is the entire mystery into which we've been delivered. But you got to see, every time you use your mind, then you've taken the way off track. And that's why the inertial guidance system, if there's repentance, brings you back in the way. Everybody understand that a little bit? That's why sin is missing that mark. Whether it's 1 micron or 10 miles, it doesn't matter. You've missed it. The mind can't take you to that goal. It's impossible. But he can, and he is. Now, this is why this abandonment of self is so critical. Otherwise, you will try to be in the way with your mind. You're doing it again, Tom.
Just thinking about what you're saying.
All right, let's go to 1 John 4. It speaks of this also. Just one verse, verse 17. Well, let's go back a little bit. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's massive. As he is, so are we. But if the evil one is resurrected by your mind, then it takes us away again. Just goes on and on and on, but it doesn't have to. Every time your mind takes you away from the way into either the world or Babylon, then what happens? The first thing we try to do is we try to rebuild the things that we destroyed. And then we see the stupidity of that. And so finally there's repentance. And this walk, it never stops. That's why everything that your mind does, by definition, is rebellion. It takes you out of the way. Even thinking about the way takes you out of the way. But it has to be done. You have to find out that the way, that your way, your doing things, you'll end up, whether they're not, is you'll end up making bricks without straw again, because you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. All right. So anyway, that's about his legs, is this whole, the sacrifice of his legs. Now all except skin was burned. It's all arranged, the pieces, on so that they're all, it's all cut up, and then each individual piece internally was first washed and then set in place, and then skin was given to the officiating priest. Why wasn't the skin burned? Symbolically, the skin is your garment, and that garment cannot be spotted by the flesh. So So symbolically, it's burned. I mean, it's not burned, it's given to the priest for his use. It's the righteousness of Christ from the very beginning, when they were ashamed and God made them garments of skin. And the skin always has represented in the offerings, the skin has always represented the righteousness of Christ and Him alone. Now again, the rest of the sacrifice was laid in order onto the head, and the head was a symbol of, if there had been a single thought of Christ to protect himself, to enhance himself in any way, then this burnt offering, well, the head would have been found to be not suitable. Just think about that. That's why we must take our place. That word peristemi that's used as presenting yourself to a living sacrifice, that word in the Greek translation is the same word. Peristemi in the Greek translation of the Septuagint is used when these sacrifices were offered. So the whole mystery of presenting yourself a living sacrifice, it's a contradiction in terms, because a sacrifice is always requires a death. So you have to see your death in that sacrifice, whether it's especially in the burnt offering. Now that's why we take our place. We allow him to kill, cut, wash, and arrange. Otherwise, we're still out here doing stuff. Let's go to Ephesians 4. This is really what it's talking about in verse 11. He gave apostles, and the word some is not in the Bible. When we go to Ephesians 4:11. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect being, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's all your mind can do, is lie in wait to deceive you. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So by presenting ourselves the living sacrifice, then Christ, by the Holy Spirit, arranges everything in order, just as they did on the altar. And that's what he's doing with us, whether we can see it or not. Amen. Now, there's a whole bunch of meat on that altar now. And so it was bound tightly to the horns of the altar so that it would not, you know, and fire creates energy, and the energy could throw things all over the place. Bones explode and all kinds of weird stuff happens. So the sacrifice was bound tightly to the altar. So let's look at Psalm 118 a minute. This should be our prayer constantly. If I can find it. I'm going to have to blow out my other Bible, my duplicate. Oh, man, I went to the wrong place. What?
I said I asked 118.
Psalm 118. This is the great psalm, the last song of the Hallel. And this is where just about every major thing that happened in Christ's life was happening while the Levites were singing this psalm. What one of the things that fascinates me beyond fascination is that the Feast of Hanukkah, late in the history of Israel, was apparently just invented, but it was invented by the Spirit of God, and it had the same importance in terms of the reading. It's because the Hallel was sung on Psalm on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. That's why I'm sure that Christ was born, was conceived by the Holy Spirit on that day, because the Levites were singing this song in the temple when the great experience was happening with the shepherd priests, and the heavens opened up. Let's just read the whole psalm. We haven't done that for a long time. The part we're going to study is at the end, but give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations or all people surrounded me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They surrounded me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength, and song has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live. Declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord unto which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Now this is what we're studying. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I remember hundreds and hundreds of times over the years, especially when I was in that stupid pain, my prayer was this: bind me tightly to the horns of the altar, that I may not jump off.
Yeah.
But his mercy endureth forever. You don't jump off with your body, you jump off with your mind, because you faint in your mind. Faint, all the scriptures about fainting are when you leave faith and you quit in your mind. All right. When we give ourselves without condition, when our prayer is that we are bound tightly to the horns of the altar, and we are giving ourselves to be sanctified, cleansed by the Word, then the Holy Spirit sends the fire to consume the sacrifice and become the sweet-smelling savor of this burnt offering. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Bind the sacrifice tightly to the horns of the altar. Let no need cause us to get up and walk away from that mystery. We do that every time we believe that the Lord has forsaken the earth. Lord has forsaken the earth when things don't go your way, when things happen that you don't believe are just or fair. When everything in you wants to lean on your own arm of understanding to solve it. So Sometimes you try that. Oft times I pray you repent if you do. But that sacrifice must be bound tightly to the horns of the altar. You as the living sacrifice, which is a contradiction in terms. The only reason you're living is because of who you contain. Amen? Well, we'll save some for tomorrow. We're getting near. Any response to any of this?
Thinking from God's point of view, it's the best thing going. And if you see it from His point of view, it's the best thing that could ever happen, is to be consumed by Him. And I suspect the fire is not what the flesh would imagine it to be, but God always turns things around on us.
Well, fire, that's important. I'm glad you said that. Fire is, or like whether it's fire or rust or aging, it's all fire. That's why Ezekiel said the world is on fire. It's just a slow fire. But everything is taking place. All his gray hair it's on fire. And this is what I've said it before, but this is why I was always fascinated with fire as a kid. Not to go start fires, but what is this crazy thing called fire? What is it? And I found out it's just rust.
Yeah.
Or aging. Or oxidation. So the world is on fire. And we see it from, and everything you think you want and like is on fire. Everything you esteem is on fire. Everything you hope for is on fire. There's only one life. I passed through the fire already.
And man does everything to stop it, come against it, put it out, defer it, get a facelift, take vitamins, do something to stop this fire that they're being consumed by, because they're looking at it from the bottom up. Instead of rejoicing that they're being, it seemed right, I guess, they're being consumed by God.
Last night on Channel 8, there was a story about the greatest percentage increase of plastic surgeries with teenagers, some as young as 16, and getting there. And it's breast augmentation with the parents' approval. I mean, that if that isn't a picture.
Yeah.
Can you imagine putting your daughter through that kind of crap? You have to have the parents' approval.
We call that passing your kids through the fire.
Yeah, that is big time. Well, they insist on it, so the kids want it. Kids get what they want. Take it, big guy.